Mutto at Midnight with your host, Mutto Sasquatch. Mutto is a shaman who works with the written and spoken word. He has played his flute, offers sacred smoke in the four directions. Please join Mutto in sacred ceremony. And now, Mutto at Midnight.
And good evening to all. Welcome to my little radio program. My name is Mutto Sasquatch. This is Mutto at Midnight. We've got a bit of catching up to do because last week I was going to talk about the presidential elections, and I resolved that I would only talk about it then, and then I wouldn't talk about it for the rest of the year. But what happened was I didn't, and this often happens on the show, I didn't talk about what I'd planned to talk about. I got sidetracked and did something more along the lines of there's nobody to believe in anymore. So I didn't get said what I wanted to get said about the presidential election, so I'm going to go ahead and do that tonight. I've also noticed that two or three holidays have passed by since the last one I paid attention to, that was New Year's. I wanted to say a word or two about each of those, because holidays are a topic that I find rather interesting. Also, and I'll just lead with this because it won't take long, I have made a post to my blog. This is a rather momentous occasion because I haven't been writing to it a whole lot lately. I had actually just put a post on Facebook that said my writing right now makes me feel like a T-Rex stuck in the tar pit or some such thing. And I don't know if that had anything to do with it, but for whatever reason, that very afternoon, I sat down at the library and typed in a blog entry. Now, the blog is at mudtoesasquatch.com, by the way, and that's a part of the withinsightsradio.com network of websites. It's something that Chief Iggy allows me to... he hosts a domain on his site, I guess you'd call it. I'm not completely up on the lingo, so I'd like to thank Chief Iggy for that. I do try to get him a little bit of cash for that from time to time, but since I am not often in possession of a lot of cash, he is very patient and lets me slide for periods of multiple months, sometimes more than a year. Last year, the cash came into my hands at about the same time that Iggy was headed off on his pilgrimage to Peru, so it came in handy for that reason. So sometimes these things work out in certain ways. But it is you don't have to go through With Insights. You go to it directly, mudtoesasquatch.com, mudtoesasquatch. And it's, you know, it's a classical blog. It's a WordPress blog with various entries. Sort of, you go back to the old one, you go forward to the next one. I hadn't written in it since mid-December, and I wrote a little meditation on Captain Pike and his amazing wheelchair from Star Trek. So you might want to check that out. I think it's kind of fun. The one I wrote just yesterday was, it's about bricks. I have a sentimental attachment to bricks and brick structures. My first job out of college was at a brickyard, and we made bricks and sold bricks, and I designed bricks, I guess the formula that goes into the bricks, the brick stuff. I did a lot of that, talking to various customers that needed special things. It was a time in my life when I felt supremely confident and supremely useful. It was a time when I was a young man, unattached, with a little money in my pocket. So when I encounter bricks in the world today, it kind of puts me in a reflective state of mind, which is what produced this blog entry. Now, when I do these blogs, these are not hard and fast rules, but what I'm shooting for is a something 500 words, maybe a little longer. and I write the blog just off the top of my head. You know, no outlines, no plans. I get, maybe I start off with a general idea and I run with it until I get to 500-600 words. You know, unless it is something that clearly requires more, and then then I'll keep going. But typically they end up somewhere between 600 to 800 words. And then so I'll write them just right off the top of my head. Then I'll go back, I'll go over them once, and I'll catch or try to catch any grammar errors, punctuation errors. Sometimes I'll decide to change a word or two. That wasn't the word I wanted. That wasn't the idea I wanted. But it's not heavy editing. Just once over, and then I send it out to the world. So sometimes, often, in fact, it has the odd spelling error, grammatic error still in it. Oftentimes, the composition itself could use some work. But I use that stuff. First of all, I throw it out because, I like to keep the creative juices flowing. And second, those blog entries often form the basis for the stories that I want to put in my book. I take that short form, that sort of quick entry, and look at it more. Is there more story to be told here? How could I tell that story maybe better or differently? So that's the purpose that the blog serves. And the fact that there haven't been any entries for a while is reflective of my writer's block, of my not having any, my writing machine not working. So, well, it was working yesterday, so we'll see what happens. But again, if you want to check it out, it's mudtoesasquatch.com. That's MUDTOESASQUATCH. And then if you want to give me some feedback, you can get to my Mudtoe Sasquatch Facebook page, or you can write me at mudtoesasquatch@gmail.com. I also kind of, just as I was doing that, I went through the With Insights identification very quickly. So let me just tell you, as I stall while it comes up on my screen, and then I have to make the screen full screen. Okay, withinsightsradio.com. What is that, you ask me? Well, withinsightsradio.com is your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. We cover a wide variety of topics surrounding metaphysics, natural medicine, alternative healing modalities, talk radio, and much more. Withinsightsradio.com is a listener-supported radio station, and your donations are greatly appreciated. And there are different radio shows throughout the week. The flagship show is Holistic Metaphysical Forum and Intuitive Readings with Iggy Garcia and David Two Crows. That's on Mondays at 7 p.m. I like them all, obviously, but I'm fond of Mark Matheny's show, Mark the Rabbit Hole, which is Fridays at noon, and that's he's our resident astrologer. And we have different people who work different modalities. We have a number of people doing monthly shows, so it's kind of hard to keep track of them. You don't quite know when they're coming up. And so the thing I would do is check the website or check the check Blog Talk Radio and scan for shows under withinsightsradio.com and see what's coming up. What happens there sometimes is a show doesn't show up until we've told Blog Talk we're going to do it. And like today, I'm recording the show on Friday morning, so it won't show up on the list until I upload it to Blog Talk, which means it won't be on the list until sometime this morning. I think I'll be able to get to the library and upload the show. So anyway, that's what that's all about. It's not, unfortunately we haven't made it terribly easy for you to find a particular show that you might be interested in, but perhaps that's something we can work on. If you have a suggestion on how we might make that easier for you, please pass that along. Okay, so there's all of that stuff. Now, there we go. I'm sorry, sometimes I have to fool around with what's on the computer screen, and I don't multitask very well. The other thing I didn't mention on our menu today is I pulled the sixth card in our Shaman Tarot reading, our sort of grand Shaman Tarot reading for 2016. Actually, specifically attached to me now, we decided, since we couldn't really do a reading for a year. You have to do a reading for some conscious entity. Although I wonder if you can do a reading for an inanimate object. What's this car going to? What's new for this? I don't know. Is it the idea being that the reading kind of comes from the interaction between the reader and the readee? So the readee has to be able to interact with you in some way. In any case, I have been engaged in pulling a series of 8 cards for sort of a grand reading. I don't know how grand that is. I know tarot readers often do a lot more cards than that. But I made up my own spread for the cards. If you've been listening to the show, I've talked about that. So at some point, we'll work that into the show today, too. My pulled card number 6, and I can 6 of 8, and I can tell you more about that. Okay, so what were the other things I was going to talk about? It was presidential election and holidays. Let's do presidential election first, get it out of the way. What a mess. That's basically where I'm at on that. That whole process, excuse me, has slid very much out of control, I think. I know from the time I was a very young voter, I cast my first presidential vote in 1984 for Ronald Reagan. Since that time, my feeling has been, as each election comes along, boy, out of a country of 200 million and then 250 million and now close to 300 million people, this is really the best we could come up with. And then the next election is even worse. I don't mean that cynically. I mean that this is a huge country, one of the largest countries in the world, and one would think that it would be the best and the brightest coming forward to do this job, and we're not getting that. We're not. I don't think anyone, no matter what side you're on ideologically, you can find serious fault with even the candidates on your own side. It becomes a matter of, well, that's the person, I have to vote for McCain because he's better than Obama. So the old argument about lesser of two evils. So I'm not one to say, let's make a law. We'll make a law and that'll fix everything, because it practically never does. I think if law were looked upon as a process in which ordinary people were participating, and you could go through a series of iterations and refine the law and get it to a point where it's actually doing what it's meant to do and knowing what the law is actually meant to do, having a goal and ways you're going to measure that goal. Are we getting to where we wanted to get to? Not something that happens. Law is heavily influenced by those who are connected. And law is written to fulfill the desires of those people, to make them safer and more secure. And if ordinary people benefit, incidental. That's the word I wanted. Thank you. Thank you, Spirit. Strictly incidental. But in this case, I think, well, I don't know. I don't know if a law would actually help. But federal elections, including the presidential elections, but the others as well, are clearly out of control. Ordinary people have little, if anything, to say about who their leaders are going to be. The process has been hijacked, and everyone talks Citizens United, Citizens United. Well, Citizens United is only a very, 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 very small part of this. And we can't, I see it on Facebook, repeal Citizens United. You can't repeal a Supreme Court decision. You have to make a new law, and then that law has to also pass muster with Citizens United. It was the opinion of the court that telling someone they can't use their own money to buy, political advertising is against the First Amendment. So the idea was if a guy was using money from his company, the law said you could only use a certain amount of corporate money to pay for advertising. And this guy used more than that. But it was his company. He owned it, outright. So there's only a very technical distinction between his personal money and the corporate money. That was the ruling. Something that only has a very narrow application, but what it's done is it's given, I don't know exactly who's in charge of this, but whoever, maybe it's the Justice Department, I don't know, but there's an excuse now to say, well, we're not going to attempt to enforce this violation of the I want to say Voting Rights Act, but that's not what it's called. This part of the law, we're not going to try to enforce it because the Supreme Court came down on us in this one area. That whole sort of circuit is kind of bogus, but it gives politicians something to talk about. And say Citizens United, when in fact changing. I mean, first of all, well. Without getting into the whole thing, changing Citizens United is not going to come anywhere close to fixing all the election problems. And it goes back, let's go way back. It goes back to our founding fathers, who, let's go ahead and review, because if we're going to venerate people, we ought to understand who they are. They were all white, they were all male, they were all rich, and about a third of them owned other human beings. I don't think that actually has much to do with the what we're going to talk about, but I think when we talk about the founding fathers, this is the founding fathers, and we bow down to them. They were people. They had flaws, and they had specific agendas, which they were trying to achieve as they were making the Constitution. And I think it's important to understand that when we discuss their work from over a distance of close to 250 years. So, what they did, there's something in the Constitution which has been endlessly problematic almost from the day the Constitution was ratified, and that's the Reserved Powers Clause. For whatever reason, the Founding Fathers didn't want to get into a lot of detail, so they laid things out in a, in sort of a, they gave us the clockwork, and then they said, anything we haven't talked about here belongs to the states. Any power that we haven't specifically said goes to the federal government is for the states to do. So they talked about the elections. They talked about there would be a president and a vice president and a House of Representatives and a Senate, and the House would be elected every 2 years, and the Senate term would be 6 years, and they would be elected, they would be reelected in 2 year shifts. They gave us all of that. But they didn't tell us what the elections were going to look like. How is this election executed? And even if they had, what they came up with in the late 18th century probably wouldn't apply to the world we have today. So this is how we get these, primaries that are some of them a year before the election. This is how we get Iowa and New Hampshire claiming the first position as some sort of divine right. This is how we get all the southern states doing their primary on the same day so they can consolidate their power. And it's in part how we get presidential nominee of each party, and there weren't parties at the time the Constitution was written, by the way, a nominee from each party basically settled by the end of Super Tuesday, because we've already had all the primaries. And there's still over 6 months to go until the election. And if there was any more discussion to be had over who the best candidates were, you can't have them anymore. It's just pointless. Now, in addition to that, we had, the conventions used to mean something. Because more often than not, unless you were the party with the incumbent, and you were just sort of say, okay, we're going to have that person run again. If it was a contested election, generally you wouldn't know who the nominee was until the convention was over. there'd be two, three, sometimes four candidates with a shot at it when you came into the convention, and there are all these deals made and smoke-filled rooms and all that good stuff. But in 1968, in the height of the Vietnam War, there was a Democrat convention in Chicago, presided over by the original Mayor Daley. And again, more than, I think there were three people with a real chance, and then a fourth one who was dead. Robert Kennedy had been assassinated, and that had happened not long, I think it was less than a month before the convention. So, you know, what was going to happen with that? You had the leading candidate was one that many Democrats didn't want to run because he was Lyndon Johnson's vice president, and they were afraid people were going to, you know, hook him up with Vietnam and, you know, and not elect him. So it was a mess. Now, and add to that, many people had come to Chicago to protest. I think most people accept that the Chicago police reacted in a heavy-handed manner. This was going on as the convention was going on, and in fact, the national news showed pictures of the Democrats' eventual nominee, Hubert Humphrey, speaking to the convention, and then at the same time, on a different part of the screen, they showed these riots in progress, and police, you know, beating people and taking them off the jail, and so the Democrat nominee gets juxtaposed with that. Now, in contrast, the Republicans nominated Richard Nixon in this very serene convention that took place in Miami. You know, everybody happy, you know, nobody fighting, no protests, and Nixon won the election. So I think what happened was people really in both parties said, okay, the lesson here is don't have anything happen at your convention. It's bad if something happens. So they've redesigned the convention process, and now we know who the nominee is going to be before we get there. So the convention is more or less a coronation and an opportunity to begin, you know, to kick off the campaign than it is, you know, of anything useful. So I think this is a process that we could reclaim through a constitutional amendment saying, okay, our founding fathers weren't interested in what this election process was going to look like, but we are. Now, how would this look? I don't want to take, because it would take, I still have other stuff I want to talk to, and time is ticking by. But I'm thinking a reasonable process, and I won't talk, I have other ideas about the House and the Senate, but I won't spend time on them. I think you could take the primary process as it is and just take the parties out of it. Because some states have open primaries, although what typically happens is people go and try and sabotage each other's primaries by voting in them. If you organized the states into something like a smaller versions of Super Tuesday, you know, contiguous regional primaries, so that candidates weren't obliged to fly back and forth across the country, and then run them in a different order each, you know, so that one didn't have first dibs on who the presidential opinions. New Hampshire and Iowa, they're not representative, especially New Hampshire. New Hampshire, if I'm remembering correctly, is the whitest state in the United States. And very much on the affluent side as well. These are things that would necessarily have to show up in the result in their, you know, election results. So you would say you'd have the one year the Southeast states would go first, one year the Midwest states would go first, and so on. I would find a place for the voters from the District of Columbia. I would find a place for the voters in the U.S. territories. Would definitely find a place for military and diplomatic personnel serving abroad. I would say a sequence of eight primaries would be enough. Eight regionalized primaries. You'd run four and then take a break and then run four more and be done the Tuesday before Memorial Day. And don't even bother with the dopey conventions anymore. It's not... The election is not about the parties, it's about the candidates. So, I mean, the two candidates come out of the process with the most votes total would face off against each other in November for the presidency. What if they're from the same party? So what? I don't care. So I just say that the election's not about the parties, it's about the individuals who win the votes. Am I crazy? Yeah, probably. But it certainly would be, I think, less of a tedious process. And I think, I mean, eventually, you know, money always buys its way in, and then you got to think of something else. But I don't know. That's my thinking. That's if I were going to write my own constitution, as they always challenged us to do in American government class, that's the way that I would go. And your comments and ideas are most welcome. Now, we have holidays to talk about. I missed discussing Martin Luther King Day. I'm going to say four. Martin Luther King Day, Groundhog Day, President's Day, and Valentine's Day. I don't have anything to say about Groundhog Day except I love the movie with Bill Murray. Not a lot to say about President's Day because, you know, nobody else really pays any attention to it either. Martin Luther King Day, probably something to say about it, but I shouldn't because I don't want to get into trouble. I'm perfectly fine with having a holiday that honors that gentleman. I know there's some argument that it should be your broader a human rights day or a civil rights day as opposed to honoring one person. I don't have strong feelings one way or the other. I do remember I had a teacher in high school who said somebody thought we needed to have a holiday in January, so they shot Martin Luther King. He said that in class. Not something you could probably get away with today. I certainly don't share that sentiment. I have nothing but respect for what MLK was working for. But let me throw this out there. When I was in graduate school, I learned about a gentleman named Bayard Rustin, someone I had not been familiar with, and he was in the civil rights movement in the 60s, at one time considered an equal, at least an equal, to Martin Luther King. He organized the March on Washington and spoke there along with MLK, among other accomplishments, but he was chased out of the movement because he was gay. And the thought was, well, you know, the FBI will come down on us because he's gay, and they'll use that to implicate the entire movement, and we won't be able to get anywhere because it'll always be about Bayard Rustin being gay. And then I think, at least in the history of modern civil rights in the United States, was the beginning of this idea of, you know, whose rights are we fighting for? We have groups that are very centered on ending the oppression of one group of people, or are we thinking about ending the oppression for everyone? I believe the presence of a holiday like Martin Luther King Jr. Day is best used as an opportunity to have discussions like that, you know, rather than, you know, looking at old pictures and talking about what a great guy he was. And he was. But I don't, again, that's not the best. We're not making the most of our opportunity if that's all we do with it. Okay, Valentine's Day, boo-hoo. I had a lot I wanted to say about this, but, you know, it's mud-toe whining, so there's absolutely nothing we miss if I don't really go into it. I haven't been dating anyone since like 2009. I had someone that I went out with for a short time. She represented us as dating. I didn't really think we were, mainly because the physical component was missing, and, you know, perhaps that's a male perspective, but that's what was happening. And there's someone who demanded access to my schedule. You know, the phone rang, and she wanted me to show up someplace, and I was expected to drop everything and do so. And my feeling was, you know, if you're not sleeping with me, you don't get that kind of access to me. You get to we do the friendly stuff and the getting to know you stuff, and of course I don't want anyone to do anything they're not comfortable with. But if we have to get to a certain level of intimacy before I start giving up pieces of my life for you. That's what I thought. So, but on we were dating on Valentine's Day, and I found in a antique shop in Clintonville a mug from the old Kahiki restaurant. I think I'm saying that right. It was a restaurant and nightclub popular in Columbus in the 60s and 70s. My parents, I remember going there a number of times for anniversaries and whatnot. And unfortunately, it closed down and was demolished. But one comes across artifacts from it all the time. And there was just when I came across this mug, and I got it for her, and she seemed to like it. It's significant because it's the most recent time I have had an opportunity to buy a gift for a woman. So I'm sort of out of that loop, I guess, and maybe it's not such a bad thing while I work to get back on my feet, but I do miss that interaction. There are some other things I could say going back further into history. I had the last girl I seriously dated cut me off because I didn't vote. Well, that's not fair. We had a discussion about my not voting in the 2012 election, and a number of other people came down on me for not voting. So I posted something about it was a spiritual, like a prayer that I said. Well, it was a prayer that I was. It was a prayer of forgiveness for people who had wronged me, because I felt I had been wronged. And this lady I had been dating evidently saw that and broke off all contact with me. Which, you know, I'll give her credit for that, because often in that situation, people will write you a scathing final message on Facebook. You'll put it up there for everybody to see, and then they'll unfriend you immediately so you can't answer them. A very passive-aggressive way to do things. I've actually found that not posting on people's threads has been effective in limiting that experience for me. I found that when people make a thread, especially on some social issue, my assumption has always been that they wanted to have a discussion, but 99% of the time that's not correct. What they want is for you to agree with them. And if you don't, you know, woe betide you, because all their friends are going to dogpile on you. So that would be any advice that's going to come. My Valentine's Day advice is don't write on anybody else's thread. If you have something to say, start your own. Okay. Now, with time actually past 30 minutes, but hey, we're not slaves to the rules here. I will go ahead and tell you that this week's card, number 6 of 8, is the 8 of Bows. And the bows signify the voyage. And card number 8 is about return, partial healing, possibility of a profound change, or the need to overcome blocks set up from the outside. Blocks, again, is something I saw with a previous card, but this specifies from the outside. And as card number 6, this is coming at the north door, which is heavenly beings and spirits. So we're going to have to think about that a bit. The card itself is two gentlemen this isn't primitive dress, but they're it's an ancient dress. Perhaps there's one gentleman wearing a rather tall crown, and the other one not so tall crown. They're both have their heads bowed or bowed, maybe both. The more important gentleman is helping the other gentleman, who seems to have been stricken in some way, and there is a bird hovering over them, I won't say the bird looks particularly menacing, but the color of the light coming off of the bird and onto the people is a very ugly greenish yellow, and there are storm clouds in the background. So this is about, I'm hooking that up with the words profound change, you know, something, it almost is evocative of the expulsion from paradise, except it's clearly not, you know, it's not a couple, it's not Adam and Eve. But that's our card. So again, another change card, possibility of profound change and overcoming blocks, although specifically calling out blocks that come from the outside. So next week we will talk more about how that card fits into the overall plan, and we'll have card number 7. It's getting towards the end. I'm getting excited. I also have to check with the library and see if I can check out that tarot book again, because again I didn't. I need to check that card with its equivalent in the traditional tarot and get some insight that way as well. Shopping at a I guess you'd have to call it a novelty store. I was getting a Valentine's gift for my daughter and my granddaughter. I got my daughter a salt lamp, and my granddaughter got a scarf because she's 5 and she doesn't care. She likes the scarf. I noticed when I was checking out that, oh God, I just remembered, I got myself an incense holder, you know, one of those boxes that looks kind of like a little coffin. I got one of those for myself, and it's still in my bag. I haven't taken it out. I'm going to have to do that. While I was checking out, I saw some tarot books and supplies behind the counter, and evidently they had used to have them out on the shelves, but they said they kept disappearing, so they had them behind the shelf. When I get my taxes back, perhaps I will take a few dollars of that and go purchase a tarot book of my very own. It's possible that, probably likely, that I'm going to have to sort of relearn some of these interpretations. But again, the interpretation varies with the reader anyway. And I think in the end, it'd be better for me to have my own resource than a borrowed one, although the borrowed one has been very useful to me. Okay, well, I am going to go ahead and sign off, because I'm going to have to go to the library and upload this to the internet so you can hear it tonight. And then I got to get back to work on resumes and so forth, try to find gainful employment so I can slip Iggy a little bit of cash to pay for all of these wonderful internet resources that he allows me to use so generously. So again, thank you for listening. I appreciate it very much, and have a pleasant good evening.